When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. We are recording this way too late on a Thursday night. The final preseason game is all over. Five games of preseason basketball for the Kings, and zero wins to show from it. Tonight, they wrap things up at the Intuit Dome against a Clippers team playing without James Harden. Kawhi Leonard not playing either. Mm-hmm. Kings were without De'Aaron Fox. He was resting. Malik Monk banged up a bit. He missed the game, too, and the Kings missed everything. Oh. They shot 34% this game. They are 12 of 46 from downtown. They lose to the Clippers 113 to 91. How much time do we spend on this actual game? I don't know. You basketball sickos are listening to a podcast evaluating preseason basketball, and that makes me love you because I'm a basketball sicko too. We'll talk a little bit about this game, and then let's big picture stuff. Like, what are our big questions headed into the Kings season? Concerns, questions, whatever you want to say. And does this preseason shake your confidence at all? Those are all things we're going to hit tonight on the podcast. Morgan Reagan, how you doing?
I'm glad that we're at this point of the night. I'm glad that we're at the podcast.
Yeah?
Because I wasn't that excited going into the game just because, De'Aaron's not going to play. And I just had a feeling it wasn't going to be the greatest thing. Not just because he wasn't playing, but because it was the last preseason game. Didn't know what Mike Brown was going to do exactly. And then you get to the game and you're like, oh, wow. Well, I'm feeling things. And they're not warm and fuzzy feelings, but they're also not like it, again, it's the same thing I've said throughout these preseason games. How do you be rational about all this? But I also think you've got to listen to some of your feelings and emotions, even if they're going to end up being wrong 10 games in.
Yeah, the reality is this is a 5-game preseason sample size. However, it's a sample size, mm-hmm. and this is our first impression. First impressions are everything in life, yeah. right? And in sports, your first impression of this Kings team against the Golden State Warriors is, oh, my God.
First date.
Yeah,
First date.
Best impression. Mm-hmm. But by the fifth date, you're noticing
the red flags.
Major red flags.
Yeah.
Picking your nose? And wiping under the table at dinner? That's strange.
That would be so weird to see in your adult life.
Okay, what's a red flag then for you if you're on a date?
Not going to go there. Let's see. A red flag. A lot of them would have to do with morals. So
okay,
let's just,
okay.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I went way too dark on the pre-show, so I'm trying to go as dark this time. Fine. We get the point. Red flags. Do we have some red flags regarding the Sacramento Kings right now after 5 preseason games? If we do, what's your red flag right now with this team? And it's okay because, like you said,
I couldn't think of a real red flag for a date.
It can change.
My red flag for this team right now, I mean, sure, it would be the defense. The defense is disappointing. It didn't matter if it was the first crew that was in there with the Clippers all the way to the last, right? And I mean, there was this beautiful moment. I forget who ended up getting this backdoor lob to Zubats, but Sabonis was on him. And I'm just like, there was no other help around the basket. And sometimes you're going to have a good offense that knows how to spread that out. You're still learning each other on the defensive end and everything. But being in the last preseason game, I don't know. I just wanted to see a little bit more feel from this Kings team.
And while you say that, four of the teams they played in the preseason shot at least 48%, three of which shot 53% or higher from the field in the preseason. Okay. So, yeah, that's concerning. Yeah, I think the on-ball defense just was not good enough, and that was surprising to me. It was like, I do think when I look at the Kings starting lineup, they have three good defenders, especially on the perimeter with Keon Ellis, with Keegan Murray, and with De'Aaron Fox. But it just seemed like there were too many blow-bys. And look, you know, I think some people got a glimpse of what DeMar can be when there's mismatches, and that's going to be an issue at times. Like, he is not, I said this when they signed him and we did like a film breakdown looking at his defense. Like, he actually is better at defending bigger guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was watching tape from last year where it's like some of his better moments came up against like OG Anunoby, Siakam.
Where
like
sometimes when you see people who are guards that can't guard guards, they're usually not at a good size anyway to take on a bigger player. But what's nice about it is that he's not a liability on the end of the floor, just truly depending on the matchup, though, for him. But that would go for a lot of different bigger players as well. So,
And that's the thing is, like, if the Kings aren't staying in front of the ball, it just, again, you're getting dribble penetration, the other team's getting paint touches, they're getting right to the rim because there's not a lot of rim protection for Sacramento.
Rotations are late. Yeah. The help isn't there.
And so I think that's a concern. I would say this, though. Caitlin Cooper, who does a great job covering the Indiana Pacers, great basketball mind. And she put out a stat on social media about points per possession in the preseason. And the defenses around the league are just awful right
now. Great. Love it.
That's something we have seen.
Yeah.
Now, for Sacramento's standpoint, it's like, all right, the defense hasn't been very good, and the shooting's not good. The three-point shooting is actually bad, and the turnovers are issues. So that adds up to not a lot of good.
No, and I think I'll say this because if the defense isn't as good just around the league, why are the Kings seemingly missing so many shots when they have shooters on their team? But then the one thing I will say about some of the turnovers, like, obviously you're still trying to figure each other out depending on you know, if it's DeMar in the mix, whatever. But I also believe the way that Sabonis has been playing, he's been trying out a lot more different passes, you know, that and that we saw him execute in the first two games against the Golden State Warriors. And then it felt like after that, the Kings saw a lot more size, right? Against Portland, against the Jazz. A little bit so tonight, just a little bit, but really in those two games that I'm talking about. And you saw that he had to make adjustments with his passes and or it just ended up being more turnovers for the team.
Yeah, it was not pretty. And I would say the other thing, and going back to the defense for a second, you're also in a situation where some of the guys they were playing off the bench, at least in the early going of the preseason, first few games, like, we're talking about like a lot of young guys. And it's not like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the guys that were playing off their bench for the first few games of the preseason are guys that aren't getting run with them in all likelihood this year, right? Yeah. Like, when you look up and down, Mason Jones, Colby Jones, Isaac Jones, Boogie Ellis, Scal, Broderick Thomas not going to be on the team, right? Terry Taylor, Isaiah Crawford, young guy. Like, those guys aren't playing for you, yet they're playing significant minutes and sometimes playing out there with the starters. And how many times you saw a defensive break? It takes one person to mess up something defensively, and then your shit gets all out of whack.
Sure.
And I think you saw that a lot. And, you know, the same goes with offense, right? Like, I think some of the Kings starters are better at doing this read and react and not having a ton of plays in the preseason, right? We're just going to do a free-flowing thing. Well, it's easier, to do that when you've got, like, the regulars who are used to playing that type of style.
Yeah.
Even though they were still sloppy at times, too. But when you're asking some of these young guys, you're like, someone like Jordan McLaughlin, who's kind of new to this, to do those things, I think it's going to be inconsistent. So that's where I, you have to check yourself a little bit. Yeah. It is the sample size we have, and you're like, okay, that didn't feel great, you know, the last few games. And so I'm trying not to let it get to me too much because it is preseason. But, yeah, I'm slightly concerned.
Well, and here's why I think you are, too, especially someone like Sweet Little Deuce, who gets so high when he sees roster changes in the offseason and gets super excited, which, by the way, you should. I appreciate it.
DeMar DeRozan, a six-time All-Star. I'm sorry, I got a little juiced for it.
No. It's not about DeMar DeRozan. Don't flip me off.
It's about
what you said that tweet could do. And not only you, just a lot of people. At my point,
and I could still be right.
And guess what? Could you listen for 2 seconds?
Sure. One, two.
Reminds me of an interview that I just watched. Anyway, my point is, I remember, like, even when DeMar DeRozan was added to the squad, assigned, whatever, it was exciting. But I was excited, but I had my questions. And I think a lot of people's questions was always like, the spacing. And you're seeing that isn't the issue. When you have good players, it's not necessarily the issue. It's always just the little things, right? Like how you find that chemistry or each other's cadences and you work that out. And then also on the defensive end, we talked about some of the flaws, but then when you kind of see it come together, even in this team defense, you go, oh shit, they need like 20 games together if they're going to start figuring this out. But then another positive, watching the Minnesota Timberwolves the other night.
And you're saying that because it's a good reminder that, like, breaking news, like, sometimes shit looks clunky in the preseason.
There you go.
And that's just what it is. And you hope it doesn't bleed into the regular season.
Sure.
Right? Like, I think I saw someone in the chat was bringing up, well, why is it all of a sudden going to get better? Yeah. Victor said, bruh. Performances will not improve in the regular season. Why are the Kings fans so delusional that everything will be fine in the regular season suddenly?
Well, it's not about all like the first game. Like, it's not like magic, wow, regular season. It's literally about growing together. And like, not only that, you already mentioned it. Not running as many plays in the preseason and trying to just like find this freedom and this flow. Like, there's going to be different things in the regular season.
And the other thing is too, is like, well, I can tell you why I'm not like, oh my God, freak out at this. They won 46 games last year. They won 48 the year before that. I think they've got a good team. Like, what, how good can they be? What's their ceiling? Like, we can have all those conversations. I think they have enough talent to be a good team. My concern kind of going into the season is like, I'm looking at the depth right now without Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles out there. And I'm going, that's a concern. Like, if you start the regular season without those guys, it could be a bit of a challenge when you go to the second unit. Like, there's no denying that.
And then even when you try to mix them back in, like, it's their preseason at that point, right? Like, obviously they're practicing as much as you can, but there's so many less practices as soon as the season starts. And on top of that, you're having to learn and build that chemistry, especially on the defensive end, together at a different stage in the season. I don't know. It's a lot.
Catter J in the chat says they did run the elbow series. Skyler broke down a ton. When I say they didn't, like, I'm talking about they didn't like call out plays. Like, obviously they initiate their offense, but Sabonis, a lot of times it's like read and react. It's not like they're looking at Mike Brown and be like, hey, what play are we running? I mean, they have actions that they go through, but so much is based on their decisions, reading what is around them, and they create off of that. You know what I mean? They're looking for mismatches, whatever. So they obviously run some sort of plays, but they're not like, hey, let's run the elbow right here, blah, blah. You know, let's run the twirl. They're not calling that shit out at that point.
Well, it's like you said, there's a lot more freedom for them to learn and understand one another rather than Mike Brown being like, this is what we're going to do against this team, against this matchup. Because, you know, they can do their film. They can understand what this team is going to look like from the year before and maybe from a preseason game before. But you're still going off of just so little at that point as well.
If you have not done it yet, you're a basketball sicko. Hit the thumbs up. If you hit the thumbs up, hit the like button. All it does is help our channel grow so basketball fans around the world connect with our channel. Also, if you haven't subscribed yet, hit the subscribe button. We appreciate you guys so much for being here. Even you guys who are in a dark place right now, we're trying to talk you through this. We're going to be here together.
I'd be crazy. Don't be in a dark place.
What else did I want to hit on tonight about this game?
Oh,
go ahead.
Doug
McDermott made his Kings debut right away. Ends up playing 25 minutes off the Kings bench. Finishes with 14 points, 5 rebounds. He launched 11 three-pointers in this game.
Great.
4 of 11. The guy just said, hey, you brought me here to shoot.
Yep.
I'm going to shoot.
No, I liked it. Obviously, there was even some shots in some of these moments where I'm like, okay, he's probably not going to take that. But it was, let him fly. It's the last preseason game. You just got here. And at this point, there are some other guys that are in the game with you, too, that aren't going to be playing with this big squad. So you got to make sure that you're just, like, feeling everything out, whether it's a DHO, it's a bonus, or just a catch and shoot from someone else.
He was 5 of 13 overall, 4 of 11 from downtown in his Kings debut. We've learned some details about his salary, too. Keith Smith, who covers the NBA, says he got a partial guarantee of $750,000, and the contract would become fully guaranteed on the NBA guarantee date, which would be January 7th. So the Kings are like paying to like, you know, get a look to see how it works out. And if it didn't work out, they could just cut bait on January 7th if they wanted to.
Cool. So, great. Love
but
that.
But I think he can help this team with the shooting. I mean, I'm not acting like he's going to play big minutes, but, you know, if Trey Lyles isn't ready to start the season, you're going to need someone that, I mean, I know he's not as tall as Trey Lyles, but you need some more shooting out there, and you could definitely see him playing a role on this team.
How tall is Trey Lyles?
6'8"?
Okay. Yeah. That's what I, 6'9"? Yeah. Well, it's just so funny because Doug McDermott looks...
He looks a little bigger than 6'6".
Yeah. Like, I
always bring measuring tape at games, so I'll make sure when I go out there.
That was stupid. That was a dumb joke. Like, why would that even be a joke?
I don't know. I just thought the image would be ridiculous.
Would say.
I know, dude. I'm sorry. This was
like, oh, I measured them with a pencil on the wall in the arena.
I do feel like I've gotten sharper as the preseason went on, but that was like one of those like Sabonis passes where I'm like, well, wait, why did I throw, you know what I mean? Like,
out of bounds.
Why did I try that? It wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It was stupid. I had so much good going in the pre-show with this darkness that I was like, oh my God, I'm in my prime. We're running. We're scoring a lot. And then
nobody
I
laughed. Do that. Yeah.
Damn it.
For sure. Deflated.
Damn it.
But he plays bigger. He looks bigger than 6'6". I feel like he plays bigger sometimes than 6'6". Such a quick shot. Loved. Jack him up, especially if you're in there. I like it.
Yep. Double A says Big Buckets was cooking, but he was getting cooked as well. Yeah, that's. I mean, I don't think that's anyone surprised by it. I mean, that's. There's some limitations there. You know what I mean?
Just got to score more than the other team and you're good.
Yes. Please.
The breakdown of the night.
Sergio would like us to know that he did laugh at the tape measure joke.
Yeah,
so maybe I will write that down, bring that back later this year. That could be a regular season play.
Come on. And thank I saw you. Another. I laughed. You guys, how old are you?
Jeff Hardy rules, man. Appreciate you.
Come on.
Appreciate you. We need to get to some positives of the preseason. Anything?
Oh, of the preseason?
I do have a... I think Keegan Murray overall was a positive in this preseason.
That's fair.
But then I add a caveat of, he had the one game where he's 5 of 11, but besides that, like, he didn't knock down threes consistently. That was a team-wide issue. He was 1 of 8 from 3 tonight. But I thought defensively, he was probably the most consistent guy. I actually liked some of the stuff he had early in this game, too.
Yeah, I think I agree with that being overall preseason. I go back to after the first game with DeMar DeRozan being perfect from the field and having this fantastic feeling of, oh, shit, this is what it can look like. I hope it can look like, obviously not a perfect game, but... Even tonight, when he's missing some of his shots, I'm just like, ooh. Like, they're every guy, Domas, missing bunnies. Like, everyone was just missing all these shots. And I'm like, what is up on line?
I think I saw at one point, Domas started, like, 1 of 6 from the field. And his one make was actually a mid-range shot.
Oh, yeah.
Which made me laugh. I'm like, really?
Did he take two threes tonight?
Yeah, he missed them both. I think he ended up in the preseason 1 of 11 from 3. And remember, Mike Brown, I had asked him at training camp, like, hey, do you want to see him shoot him more? Because he was like 37%. And he said, you know, I'd love to see him like take 3 to 5 a game. Yeah. 1 for 11 in 5 games in preseason. But
no, that's okay. I remember, I think it was last year, De'Aaron was kind of doing the same thing, or even in the beginning of the regular season, where he was missing a lot of threes and then he kept shooting them. And
a couple of the ones he took tonight, I thought looked good. Like, I was
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Good looks.
You got to.
You have to take him. You missed him. Now,
he got
him. I'm glad he wasn't passing up mid-range shots in the preseason. That was something I noticed from Sabonis, where it was like, no, he was
confident.
Taking them. And it felt like, I mean, I don't have the final numbers of his mid-range shots, but I think he did. He shot it pretty well from the mid-range.
That's another positive.
So that's a positive.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah. What else? What else?
I think DeMar DeRozan's playmaking, like even tonight, he had a nice pick and roll sequence. Just gave Sabonis a dime. I thought that was really encouraging.
Jordan McLaughlin, I think
wasn't as good tonight.
No, but I think for me, just seeing him even get in the preseason, I was just like, I think ultimately it's going to be an upgrade for this team compared to what their roster was last season.
Over Davion, you're saying?
Yeah, I do. I just think even though it's like obviously Davion with that skill set of on ball defense, just absolutely spectacular. But then you kind of found that in Keon, and now you have someone in Jordan who I feel like can maybe add a little bit more.
Yeah.
Offense, playmaking, getting to the rim, shooting. I don't know, but we'll see. It's
my only thing
small.
With Jordan. It was the same thing with Davion. Just talking about like short guys, you know, and that's my thing in this league. Like if you are under 6 foot,
I get it.
Like there's just bigger guards and you could play good defense and they're just going to score over the top
you
of you.
Say
that's
that,
what that's a challenge.
You say that with that size alone, but that's happening even with the bigger guys out there with DeMar, with Doug McDermott. Like the personnel defensively is not going to be great. So what can Mike Brown bring out of people when it comes to a team defense? It's going to take a lot of discipline from these guys and really talking it up.
It's going to, when the league lifts this regulation that Monty's had to deal with the last 3 years, right, where he's not allowed to like acquire anyone over 6'8", 6'9". Like when that gets lifted, like at the wing spot, I think things open up for Sacramento. That was kind of funny.
I mean, it was better, relevant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It wasn't smooth, but I got to
the point. And I knew where you're going because I could see in your face. I'm like, oh, this isn't real. I hope that gets lifted.
Every team's bigger. Every team. Except the Golden State Warriors. And what do you know? You look good against the Warriors. That's the only team.
I know. Oh, I know. Man. You're just... They're going to have to perfect certain things. I truly believe that they can with even the size that they have. But you can't take any plays off. And you need to see people back out there like Trey Lyles, like Kevin Huerter, because even their size will make an impact.
I feel like we might see one of those guys. Like, is there a chance? There's got to be a chance, right? Because they were scrimmaging. They've been cleared for full contact. The Kings have a week until their next, the first game of the season against Minnesota. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a chance. Be nice. They need it. And, yeah. We also saw Malik miss a couple of games during this preseason as well.
Yeah.
De'Aaron missed tonight. Anything else regarding this game that you want to hit on?
Nope.
We'll talk Clippers later. I have them on my list. You see my big list over here?
Okay.
Reminders.
Yeah. Well, oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. We can talk more Clips later.
Next up, I want to get to, we had positives, right?
Do we have a player of the game?
Yes, we do. Should we get to the player of the game?
We should get to the player of the game.
We'll do spots later.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Who would you think the player of the game is tonight? Simply the best player of the game.
Doug McDermott.
Okay, let's see if Morgan is right.
Oh!
Simply the best player of the game tonight is the G-Man Gary Gerald, who called all 48 minutes of this awful, putrid fifth preseason game. Not only did he call all 48 minutes, The G-Man Gary Gerald has called 40 years of Kings basketball going into his 40th season. Aww. He has called 10 winning seasons during that span. This guy deserves it. He was by himself at the Intuit Dome trying to make what was at one point a massive 27-point lead for the Clippers. Interesting. The simply the best player of the game tonight. The G-Man.
Yeah,
G-Man. Gary Gerald. That is presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors.
All right. You got me there.
Good bit.
Yeah, great bit.
Doug was a candidate at one point, and I was like, I can't do that tonight.
Giving
I'm
it
sorry.
To G-Man makes sense.
Yeah, because G-Man had some ones. Going into the fourth, G-Man was like, 12 minutes left of this nightmare coming up.
Oh, classic G-Man. I mean, he wasn't wrong.
He's the best.
I'm curious. I am excited to ask him about his media spot or radio spot at the new place.
The Intuit Dome is what they call it.
Yeah, at the
new place.
Well, you know what's funny? At first, I was like, I don't know what Intuit is. And then I have to use QuickBooks for do some mo shit. And I learned a lot. Intuit is connected and intertwined, and I'm like, wow,
great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, that's where I was going to go to.
What?
I don't know. What's kind of your biggest concern or biggest question headed into the Kings season that starts next Thursday night at Golden One Center against Minnesota?
I guess I have a couple questions. One of my big questions, I kind of already talked about throughout this entire preseason, throughout this game, would be the lack of defense. And I think because we saw what Mike Brown did last year with the personnel, the roster that he did have, that I have this belief that it can be more than what it looked like in the preseason. I have this feeling it really can be. I even feel like there's more trust with someone like Alex Len. So, like, if anything does happen with Sabonis.
Oh.
I wasn't even saying health. I was saying more like foul trouble or something. God, no.
Dear God.
Dear God, knock on wood. No. That there'd be more trust there if you need a size or you just, like, your starters aren't giving you what you need. That there will be players that can contribute. And, again, if everyone just buys into whatever Mike Brown's trying to do with the team defense.
Yeah, I do think the defense will look better once they're a bit healthier. Like I said, I think in the preseason when you're putting so many young guys out there in different lines with the starters, it looked clunky. And I'm not saying that the starters didn't make mistakes defensively or maybe they weren't always engaged defensively, but I think they will look sharper. I was really encouraged by how Sacramento played defense at the end of the year last year. Once the league decided, hey, we're going to let some shit go. We're going to let these guys play defense a little bit in the league. I feel like the Kings benefited from that greatly. And then Keon Ellis obviously helped. Yep. But like De'Aaron and Keegan played some nice defense too. And they were able to really be a strong defensive team at the end of the season. So is that achievable again this year?
I don't see why not.
I don't either, but they need the other guy. They have to have the other guys involved too,
yeah.
Right? They have to have a healthier group because the depth they have behind, you know, a Trey Lyles and Kevin,
sure.
I mean, that's lacking, and that's going to be very challenging.
What are your questions?
I think the shooting one is interesting. Okay. I know we had talked about that earlier. They did not shoot the ball well at all in the preseason.
No.
I mean, and let's just talk about the three-point shooting. Tonight, 12 of 46,
okay,
26%.
Cute. Yeah, no, totally cool.
And I feel like I have to note this every time. They're without Kevin Hurt or Trey Lyles, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk. I mean, those guys shoot threes, okay?
But absolutely.
Nonetheless, 12 of 46. Mm-hmm. This one is hard to believe. Their first preseason game against the Warriors, they were 7 of 27. That's about 26%.
Oh, good. They're consistent with that.
The second game against the Warriors, 13 of 46, 28%.
Consistency.
Okay, under 30.
Okay. And?
Ooh, oh, dear God. I forgot about this one. Portland, they were 5 of 28 from 3. That's 17.9%.
Jesus, Are we sure we have the right box scores?
These are
finals.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then you got the game against Utah, 10 of 38, 26%. So, Morgan, there was not one game in the preseason that they shot over 28%.
Okay. Okay.
And here's the thing. Our team's just locking. Are they locking them down, man? What's going on? Well, I thought they got open looks. And I don't have the official open shot data. The NBA's tracking does not keep track of that during the preseason for whatever reason.
So you think that's concerning?
Here's what I'm not saying it's concerning just because of that. I'm going to rewind to something last year.
Okay.
The Kings' first season with Mike Brown, when they had the best offensive rating in NBA history.
So fun.
Everyone had career years shooting threes. Harrison Barnes has been consistent, 40%. He's no longer here.
Yeah.
Like, that guy in Sacramento was 38 to 40% every single year. You knew he was going to knock down the corner three. That year, I don't know Terrence Davis's foul numbers, but Terrence Davis knocked down some threes.
Fair.
I know Kevin Huerter shot over 40% from three, made over 200 threes.
Yep.
It was a career year. Keegan Murray, it was his rookie year, but he set the rookie record for most made threes in a season, 40%. Trey Lyles, his three-point percentage had to have been close to a career high that year. Now I'm going to pull it up because it's the last preseason night chat, and I'm going to look it up on the fly. Trey Lyles, in his first year of Sacramento, 36%.
Well,
My point is a lot of those guys had like career years, you know, and then those guys dipped, right? Now, are they more like the players they were in the first year under Mike Brown or last year when Kevin Huerter dipped? Kevin Huerter, I go, you know what, track record, he's done in this league. I think he's more of like a 38 to 40% three-point shooter. Keegan, I don't know. Like, Keegan, I saw him shoot 40% from three, but now he's got more responsibility than ever. He's defending. Like, it doesn't seem like his shot has been as consistent as it was his rookie year. That goes back to last year shooting 35%. Now into the preseason where he was inconsistent besides being 5 of 11 in one game. So that's where you go, okay, if you add Doug McDermott to this, who has been a 41% career three-point shooter, that should be a good thing, but I'm just more curious about it. I'm not going to say I'm concerned, but I'm curious to see what they are because I think in this offense with DeMar and with De'Aaron, these players around them will get great looks. They have to knock them down at a solid rate. If you can't make threes in this league, you're screwed. I mean, you have to. And,
yeah.
And this, I know at five-game sample size preseason, you're playing random guys, you're missing guys. It's still 28% was the best.
That's
crazy.
I mean, just to not ever break 30 in all five games.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it, no matter who's playing,
right?
Like these are NBA players that are getting, like you said, good looks. They're not going up against the top defenses in the league at this point of the season or anything. And I think it's a fair thing to bring up. Okay, so they're shooting.
Yeah. And I mean, the size is just going to be a thing that gets brought up. They don't have a lot of size.
Right. And I think where that will really be brought up is kind of like, again, when we saw the first two games, we weren't talking a lot about it. But then once we saw size against Portland and size with Utah specifically, it was concerning. And now if they adjust their game where their size can actually be an advantage for them, you know, like whether it's small ball, that's what I'm saying.
It can be
in certain matchups, especially, which I believe we will see, then we won't be having this conversation as much. But you're exactly right. Like it's definitely, there's definitely going to be matchups where we're like, well, shit, that would have been the one where we need to see the tweaks with more length, more size, blah, blah, blah. So
those are the big ones for me.
I have another one.
Yeah.
Didn't play tonight. De'Aaron Fox. I just believe him and his consistency needs to be at a whole different level this year. We keep seeing it take leaps. But then even last year, it was after he gets banged up. And then in January, like he takes the dip. The numbers take a dip. And sometimes I'm just like, yo, if you need to take a second, take a second. Because if you are not 100% healthy, then you are not going to be able to 100% play your game. Now, the good tweak to this, though, is that there's someone like DeMar out there.
Yeah.
So there could be less pressure on him to have to attack the basket every single time if he's a little banged up in the leg or whatever it may be that we saw last year that takes away his biggest, skill, right? Which is being the fastest player out there. So just him trying to be consistent throughout the whole year of not only with his numbers, but on the defensive end and I guess with his health and taking that seat when he needs it.
And I think defensively it is just doing it consistently and it's asking a lot too, right?
It's the guy, a lot.
But like you said, I think DeMar takes pressure off of him. I think the goal for De'Aaron this year should be like all defensive team.
Hell yeah.
And I think he's more than capable of it. I don't know of another point guard in this league who has the ability to score 26 a night and then defend some of the tougher matchups in this league. It's a lot, but I think if he can take that step, and he last year, you know, near the top of the NBA in deflections, led the league in steals. Mm-hmm. He took a huge step, but it's doing it every single night, no matter if it's Kyrie or Tyus Jones.
That's why it's important that, like, let's say he takes a knee to the thigh and is like, no, I'm good. I'm going to keep playing through. And I appreciate his mentality and his want to be out there. I mean, Sabonis is the same way. I love that about these guys. They want to be out on the floor, even if they're a little banged up. But I think it's also very important for someone like De'Aaron, if you have a contusion or whatever it is, that you don't just keep pushing yourself. You find a way to make sure to rest so then you can be 100% two games from then.
Let's give some love to people staying up way late with us tonight. It's 11:29 p.m. Pacific time. The basketball sickos in the chat are here. They're talking about this team. You guys are insane.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you guys so, so, so much. If you've got big questions, drop them in the chat too. I'll get to the poll question. Did this preseason shake your confidence? The options, wow, this is a close race.
Okay.
This is a close one. The options, no, they will be fine, 26%. Yes, I'm worried, 39%, and a little bit, but we'll see, 35%. Where do you weigh in on this poll question, Morgan Reagan?
I'm closer to no, they'll be fine, but I'm also like, a little bit, but we'll see. You know me, I love sitting on a fence, and that to me is very fence-sitting.
Of course you do.
And it's the same way I wanted to go into this season. And everyone makes fun of me for it because I'm always like, can I just see 15 games into the regular season?
Well, I think that's fair with any season. Like, you need to see 20 games.
But for me especially, like for my soul, I have a very difficult time being like, I'm super excited or, oh, I'm super scared of this. I don't know how this season's going to look. I have to have something in front of me before I just make a decision. And 0-5 preseason games, it's just not enough for me to make this huge opinion. But I feel like what I did on a night like this is go off of a lot of how I feel after seeing these games, them shooting under 30% from three, the defense, all the things.
I know I brought up the 0-4 regular season start a little bit ago. Yes. But, and I hesitate a little bit too because it's like, are we really comparing 0-5 preseason to the Kings 0-4 regular season start? Probably shouldn't, but
you shouldn't.
The point I guess I'm making is I remember when they were 0-4 that year and how we were like, God, they're not playing bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like yes. It was like, it feels so close. They just can't like.
Oh, I loved that feeling, you know what I mean? Because it was like, we're watching good basketball, but they're just not getting the dub.
And it was scary, but like, oh, Kangs at the. But yeah. At the same time, it's like, it does feel different though, right? Like, and they obviously eventually turned it around. I think like right now, when you see this 0-5 preseason, you're not like, you have to really like squint to be like, yeah, there was some like, I think there was a stretch in
the first two Warriors games where the starters had eight combined turnovers in two games. That was nice. What else? I think I saw Isaac Jones had that post score. You know, it's not like, oh man, a young player was outrageous.
Right.
Great example. Tonight, Dalton Connect, the Lakers rookie, scored 35 points, scored like 22 straight points. Like, if that happened, let's just play that for a second. Let's say tonight, I don't know. Let's say Keon Ellis was playing late in the game and like erupted for and had 35 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, dude, like, look at this 3-point shooting. You just never had a game like that from a young guy or, I don't know. It was just like brief glimpses from the starter. So that's what makes it challenging. And then some of the problems that we saw, especially the Portland game being so bad, was like, oh, those were going to some of the things from last year.
Yeah.
Oh, they're missing shots. And it just feels so like, and it feels tough. And now with expectations, it's going to feel like a little more pressure packed.
I mean, I feel the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, even with the off season and going into this season, I feel a lot of confidence, but I also feel that pressure that I'm sure everyone else is feeling within the organization. Yeah. Like, wait, what is this? But at the same time, you can't do that to yourselves because you got to let it play out. I mean, you guys don't have to, but like, they have to, you know, like a lot of these people have been doing this for a while, or the athletes on the team, you know, the NBA players, like they know how a long season works. And I don't know. I do believe that they have the right mentality. I just need to see it now, see it all come together.
Let's talk more about that coming up. Before we get there, we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at
Mother!
Go to mothersacramento.com. If you've not been to Mother, you're missing out on amazing food. They're located in downtown Midtown, 2319 K Street. And talk about representing Sacramento to the fullest with their love for the Kings, their love for the city.
Hell yeah.
And the love that they pour into making food.
Dude, they've won national and local awards. One of the national awards being obviously a Michelin bib.
Yep.
And you just think about,
they don't just hand out Michelin bibs.
They don't. And I just think about like, there's some good food in Sacramento. Mother is one of the best. One of the best. I'm not kidding. If you have not tried it, make sure to go to Mother Restaurant. And you can pregame with your mother every single Kings game, home or away. Go to Mother, 50% off all your drinks. Any drink. You got it.
That's a sweet-ass deal, if you ask me. Go to mothersacramento.com. Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Golden One Credit Union believes together we are one. That's why they've set out to create a bright financial future for all Californians. You need to visit goldenone.com to sign up and become a member. Because if you're a Kings fan, let me just tell you, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings, and they have amazing discounts for Golden One members. Up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. So why wouldn't you be at one?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you see, and then they go, okay, everybody, if you are a member, raise your card up in the air. And then, like, Fresh runs up to wherever and then upgrades someone's seats. Like, there's so many things that you get if you are a Golden One Credit Union member.
So sign up today. Become a member at goldenone.com. We mentioned G-Man is our Northwest Exterior, simply the best player of the game. Well, shout out to our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Morgan, why should people hit up Northwest Exteriors?
The best people, the best windows, and now the best HVAC system in the Deuce and Mo podcast studios. Dude, I thought the windows were like the end all be all. I was like, oh my God, everything's so great. I'm saving so much money now. Love it all. And then they're like, no. Have you tried an HVAC system? What? Didn't even know that life could even be better. It's way cooler when it's hot outside, and I'm excited to try everything out. I haven't yet, but as soon as it's cold outside, heat going on.
Yeah, and they service HVACs as well. You can do that. Just tuning up, $49.
they do everything. They're local. They're not going to subcontract your projects out to like some random company from far, far away. The people who have been there have worked there forever. They've been with us now for two straight seasons. You know why? Because they are simply the best, Morgan Reagan.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Go to northwestexteriors.com.
Love a good jingle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Me too.
Me three.
All right, Morgan Reagan.
Yes.
So we talked about some of the big concerns we have, and we're going to have a ton of Kings coverage. I know opening night is not too far away. We'll be dropping content left and right, of course, on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@DeuceandMo. Film breakdowns, previews, maybe an interview. We'll have some fun. I think how I feel about the Kings after this preseason, I think the concerns I had are pretty much the same. You know what I mean? I didn't love everything I saw in this preseason, but I think the perspective I have is like, let's just see the real shit. Like, there's a reason you have training camp in the preseason. You try some things, you mess some things up. Hopefully it looks a little better. It didn't look good tonight. I'm guessing you missed De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. Like, that's going to change the dynamic. So I'm eager to see what it looks like game one against Minnesota. I know you talked about Minnesota earlier. Yeah, watching them last night against the Bulls, like Anthony Edwards with 3 for 16 from three. From three. Well, Anthony Edwards is not going to be 3 for 16 from three
every night.
Opening night. And so like you go around the league and you just have to be careful like how much stock you're putting into things. And I think there's traps you can fall into. You know, there's traps. You could fall into the, hey, it's just preseason trap, which I don't think you should completely fall into it. But like, there's going to be some Laker fans tonight that fall into the don't connect, drop 35. Well, could he start and play 35 minutes a night for the Lakers and be a major impact player for them year one? I mean, maybe he can, but is it just because he did that tonight? Like, long-term, be excited.
Right.
I guess my point is like...
Yeah, what's your point?
This is, you know... There's a lot of ugly in this preseason. I was trying not to say mixed bag like I did last time.
Oh God! Here we go.
No, I'm not concerned. I'm just not. I just think the Kings have a lot of talent. They do have flaws that we're all aware of with the size, definitely right now being banged up. But I think they've got enough talent. I think DeMar is going to help them tremendously, especially with his playmaking, being able to track another defender. I think Fox is going to have a monster year, and I think they have the shooting around. They're going to create good looks, and you trust that those guys are going to be able to knock down shots. If they don't, they're in trouble.
You definitely overtalked and overanalyzed that whole thing, but here's where I completely agree with everything that you're saying, and I think what you're feeling are probably a lot more emotions and feelings from the preseason than you actually are with, like, real concern or real, like, you're not like super disturbed or anything. It's you understand what it is.
No, basically. And I think, you know, obviously my other issue is that we do a live podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm reading the chat, and it's like you start reading the chat, you might think the Kings
are done for the season.
Maybe trying to be in play for Cooper Flagg next year, the number one pick. Like that's
I saw Cooper Flagg a few
that's
times.
That's how
the
approach. I at one point tonight I started looking up Kings preseason records by the year.
Okay.
And I went back, it was like 2012-13. What a year that was. It looked like maybe the Kings were gonna move. The Kings had a 7-game preseason where they were 5-2. Then they won 28 games. So it's not nothing. We went over the concerns, but like at the same time, it's a different time. The regular season's different. I think they iron some things out with this week off. And like, yeah, let's go. Let's see what it looks like. The West is going to be daunting. You better be better. Otherwise, you will get buried.
And speaking of the West, you wanted to talk about the Clippers.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard news, man.
Yes.
Bummed me out.
That news, what makes me sad about it, it's not surprising either.
It's not surprising, but here's my take today on the Kawhi Leonard stuff.
Sure.
Out indefinitely. He played 68 games last year, was all NBA. People do seemingly forget that for whatever reason. He had a really good year last year. And then at the end, the knee flared up. Yep. Tried to go do the Team USA thing. He ended up like, hey, he's not going to be on the team. Ends up getting a procedure and now out indefinitely. It sucks. It's terrible. But here's what I think too many people do. I saw Kendrick Perkins do it. I've seen a lot of basketball people say this. And I've seen fans say it. And I just never understand it.
I meant no disrespect, by the way, when I said not surprised.
I'm not
okay.
Going there. The whole dude, just retire, man. Retire.
Shit.
He needs to hang it up and retire. I can't stand it. You know, you know when Kawhi needs to retire?
When he wants to.
When he wants to, when he's ready. Like, if this guy wants to play
or
and
if
he wants
to collect money.
To work his ass off to try to get back and play again, let this guy play. And as long as people want to sign and pay him to play basketball, who cares?
Yep.
These guys put so much into their careers. Kawhi went from being this guy at San Diego State, going to the Spurs. Oh, he can't shoot. And he turned into a 2-time finals MVP, a 2-time NBA champion, multiple time all-star, all defensive team, all NBA team. And now because the guy's banged up, dude, just retire. If he wants to keep trying, keep going. I just never understand this whole notion of, oh, retire. Screw that. Play until the wheels fall off.
People want a lazy hot take. I mean, that's what it is. And or, I call it a lazy hot take. I just think it is so weird to have such a strong take on someone else's life. Because it's not like it's just a job. It's literally that person's life, right? Like when you are a professional athlete, the work you're putting in and or the surgery you're getting on your body to get better, to keep playing, it's just a very strong opinion to take on someone's life. And I just think it's a little disrespectful, but whatever.
And on the flip side, I wouldn't be surprised if people said the same thing about Lonzo Ball. And shout out to Lonzo Ball, who got back on the floor for the first time in 2 years last night when Chicago played Minnesota, got into double figures, looked pretty good. And that's a guy that, remember the reports last year, there's hey, he may never play again. And he kept saying he was going to play again.
Yeah.
And when you see those reports, you're like, I don't know, is he being delusional? The guy made it back. That's a win, dude. And so it was really cool to see that moment.
It totally is. It totally is. And I mean, you could even go to someone like Ben Simmons, who every single year you're expecting something different and people will get frustrated with him. Well, I mean, he's collecting money, doing what he's doing, and people keep wanting to pay him, give him contracts or whatever it is. It's be mad at those people. Don't be mad at the athlete. But at the same time, I can understand too, if you're a fan of a team, why you might have certain frustrations. But again, how can you be mad at someone trying to continue to do what they love?
Yeah. And yeah, he's under contract. One, the Clippers thing is just crazy in general. I mean, if you want to be critical of anything, it's why did you give him a new deal based on his history?
Mm-hmm. Well, you did that because you thought you were thinking ticket sales with the new arena.
And yeah, I guess, but it's the ultimate gamble. And so now, you don't know when he's coming back, and it's James Harden and company. And the other wild thing is thinking about next season, Oklahoma City has the Clippers pick, unprotected pick, in what's supposed to be a stat draft. It's from the Paul George trade back in the day. So the Clippers, I think there's going to be some motivation for them to
make some moves.
They want to be competitive.
Yeah.
They want to be competitive. Now, they also don't have any real assets. So what do you do here? I think they're in a real, real tough position. But I think everybody in the NBA outside of Oklahoma City should be rooting for the Clippers this year to not be a team that is close to getting the number one pick.
Hey, well, they beat the Kings tonight, so
yeah, go Clips. That's a good point. Go Clips. Could you imagine if, like, it's draft lottery night, we're like, okay, let's what happened? And you hear, and with the number one pick, Oklahoma City. You'd be like, okay, well, let's just stop the league then. Like, great.
Everyone just give up.
Yeah, yeah, cool. They get Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey. I think that's his name. I saw him tonight. Knocking down shots. Yeah, I guess this draft class is supposed to be good. I hope I don't care about the draft. If I'm caring about the draft, we're in a bad spot.
Could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. So just be prepared for anything.
Oh, I know. I have one thing I want to ask the chat, too.
What?
If you don't mind.
What did you want to ask? Oh, God. Really?
I just...
This is what you want to ask?
Did you guys see the Donovan Mitchell Skims
thing? What's the question to be asked? Real or fake?
Yeah.
That's the... You're literally going to pose that question.
Okay, I don't have to
put You that can. Up. No, put it up. Put it up.
Like, is it...
I mean, it's just a man in underwear. A man in underwear with...
Donovan Mitchell.
Underwear.
The new, now he's the new... I don't even know what to say.
He's the new Skims ambassador.
Skims ambassador.
There you go. And he's holding a basketball.
I just remember there was...
And he has a basketball in his pants.
I just... I do remember a time in wrestling where Shawn Michaels had these, like... they weren't Skims. They were something shorter.
Yeah.
And he stuffed up there, but...
Oh, yeah. He said he took, it was in the Vince McMahon Netflix doc, and he said he took gauze and put it in there for dramatic effect.
Here's the other thing. Just don't go on X and search Donovan Mitchell, because you're going to get people comparing SGA and Donovan Mitchell in Skims.
Which is so weird. But then again, it's the internet, so...
Dude, you know the Cavs are talking just so much shit to Donovan Mitchell, though. You know, his teammates have to be having fun with that, so right?
Patrick says it's AI, guys.
It has to be.
I mean, whether it's like edited or not, it's aggressive. Like, I don't, again, it's underwear. You know, it's an underwear ad. That's the same thing. I mean, you saw the W players in Skims clothing, Kelsey Plum.
Definitely saw that.
Was it Candace Parker, I think, was in there? You know, like all these people. But I don't know why it's so different when a guy is just like.
Maybe I'll get some Skims and like do on like for a night chat, you know?
I just had throw up.
Maybe like, do a shoot for our Instagram? Can you imagine, huh? That'd be funny.
Yeah. No, that'd be so funny.
Oh my God.
That'd be so inappropriate.
All right, that got that one off my list as well.
What, Skims. The joke or the Skims?
Skims. I had Skims got written down.
You literally had Skims written down.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can you show us the WNBA Skims ad?
No, you can Google it. God, that's what, sick. Like, yeah. Or how about watch a WNBA game, you sicko?
Man. Dude, by the way.
What?
Sabrina, you know, shot
my
last night.
Oh God. Dude, she is something else. Not, I mean, obviously we've seen her bad games or whatever, but it's just like, you're going to see that mentality. She's a killer out there. And that was just probably, I think she even said it, like the biggest shot of her career.
Absolutely.
Really. And these, if you're not watching the WNBA finals, you're not a real basketball sicko.
It's great basketball. I mean,
fantastic.
The WNBA finals have been awesome. Better than the NBA finals. NBA finals are kind of
better and a lot better than the basketball we've been watching right now in the NBA.
It all changes Thursday. Don't make me.
Don't make you what?
I feel like I have to like rally the troops right now.
No, you don't have to do anything
no,
right
I
now.
Do,
it's a
I
Thursday
do.
Night.
Listen
no,
to me.
I
listen to me good out there.
Or don't.
We just experienced an 0-5 preseason. We haven't seen the Kings win a game since the play-in game against the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, well, that pumps me up a little.
Yeah.
I'm
it's been a minute, right?
I'm getting pumped, okay.
I may age myself a little bit, but this is like Men in Black. I don't let it make that noise. But the laser, forget it. Zing. It's over. The preseason's over. Can I just tell you right now, you know who's not caring about this preseason anymore?
Who?
Those players.
Yeah.
You know what they're thinking about? We got to get in the gym tomorrow. Let's start playing. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
Let's get ready for opening night when it really matters. They're going to be ready to go October 24th. They understand the mission ahead. DeMar DeRozan didn't come here to fart around and win 32 games in Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox is in the prime of his career. Sabonis is coming off a hell of a year. Keegan Murray is ready to rise. Keon, out of nowhere last year, becomes an impactful player that got the Kings defense going in a positive direction. De'Aaron Fox took a step as a defender. Keegan went from being hunted year one to being able to defend guards in year two. And this year he's showing he could defend some bigs. He could defend guards. The guy is a stud. The three-point shots are going to be open this year. Will those guys knock them down? They will. Kevin Huerter's burning that dumbass headband that he decided to retire.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, okay.
Isn't what you call a dumbass headband?
Well, you did.
Dumb? But. Okay. It's retired. It's done. New mojo. We are back.
Mm.
And the Kings have never lost a game, the next game, following a Deuce and Mo live in-person show. That is an absolute certified fact. The Kings, after our live show, Morgan Reagan, what happened?
Game one
Kings, against the Golden State Warriors.
Warriors.
And what'd they do?
Clap that ass.
And we are going to be ready for Minnesota. Okay. So I need all you guys, even the naysayers, I need you just in the moment. Let's hit restart, reset. Let's go into October 24th with the mindset of like, all right, I could see this working out. That team last year won 46 games. The team before that won 48. This team can win over 50. Have the goddamn mindset of we're going to do this. If you're thinking bad things now, don't get pre-mad. We went over this. Do not get pre-mad. Don't start going into, woe is me.
Kings sounding, suck. You're sounding King, desperate. Kings.
No. Let's bring this shit on.
Bring it together.
October 24th. It's the Kings. It's Minnesota. I am ready to clap that ass.
Good job. You could have ended it after the first clap that ass, but you continued. It's okay. I understand. Because I think deep down you are feeling a little worried. good shit. People are down. They're down to rally.
What's your final thought?
Final thought? I'm down to rally. I'm down to have some fun.
In all seriousness, I know we probably have other podcasts to do before the season, but I am beyond excited for this 82-game journey with all of you guys, and hopefully it's a lot more than that. We all know there's highs and lows, bumps along the way. We're going to question some things down along the way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're going to get in some fights.
Do we have to? Like, that was
It's going to happen. Okay. We're going to get into it. I'm going to get irritated.
You're so assured.
With you.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
I mean,
happen.
You could just be nice, but okay.
Oh, it's always me, huh? Let's enjoy this ride together. Seriously. We've been through a lot as Kings fans over the years. I think it's going to be a fun one. Let's enjoy it. We love you guys. But we. Guts to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.